The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord God, you teach us that without love, our actions gain nothing. Pour into our hearts your most excellent gift of love, that made alive by your Spirit, we may know goodness and peace. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
Reading from Acts. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' And this happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray responsibly. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise God in the heights.
Praise the Lord, all you angels. Sing praise, all you hosts of heaven.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Sing praise, all you shining stars.
Praise the Lord, heavens of heaven, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord who commanded, and they were created.
Who made them stand fast forever and ever, giving them a law which shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and fog, tempestuous winds doing God's will.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees, and all cedars.
Wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world.
Young men and maidens, old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name only is exalted, whose splendor is over heaven, over earth and heaven.
The Lord has raised up strength for the people and praise for all faithful servants. The children of Israel, a people who are near the Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life, the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to John. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Gospel of the Lord.
I saw a new heaven, the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, as a bride prepared, a bride adorned for her husband. I don't know much about brides adorned for husbands. I had a very simple wedding, nothing at all like John had envisioned in this reading from the book of Revelation. The day before my wedding, I went to the closet, picked out a dress. I think Don bought a new tie. That was about it, you know, pretty simple. But for most brides, it's not that simple. Last summer, Don and I were in South Dakota to preside at my niece's wedding. It was a big deal. Lots of lace and satin, lots of people, lots of food, lots of money. while we were there, another niece said, would you come back next summer, next fall, and witness my wedding? And I said, oh, that would be nice. And she said, I promise, it'll be simpler than Anna's. Well, I should have known better. I should have known better than to believe that. But I got an email from her about a month ago, and she said, Karen, we decided that in order to make it more simple for you, we're going to come to San Diego to get married. I said, oh, this will be nice. The email goes on. But Aunt Karen, I need a little help. Would you help by giving a suggestion on where can I get my hair done? Where should I get my nails done? Where can we get some flowers? I also need a cake. Maybe would you suggest a hotel for our guests to stay in, and maybe a restaurant for the reception dinner? And oh, there's going to be some people visiting for the weekend probably, so maybe make a list of some of the places we should see in San Diego. It's going to be fun. But I'm a wedding planner now. And this is wonderful because I didn't get a big fancy wedding to plan for me, and I don't have any daughters to plan for. My niece doesn't have a mom to plan. My brother raised this daughter by himself. I get to be the mom planning this wedding. It'll be a wonderful opportunity. Not as fancy even as John envisioned in this book of Revelation, a bride prepared, adorned for her husband. But John isn't talking about God being a wedding planner. But God is doing this. God is doing this work. Not someone else, not us. It's God's work. We so easily get tired of the ordinary things in life. Our society encourages us to be constantly looking for something new, something exciting, something different. We have to be entertained by life, and we need the latest of everything. We need new clothes, upgraded electronics, the latest styles, and we're all too often taken in by the advertisements that insist, this is really new, and you can't live without it. We certainly do live in a time of rapid change. I'll give you an example. We got new computers in our office not too long ago. And my software and the support accessories are obsolete. I have a stack of floppy disks on my desk. But there's no drive in my new computer. I can't read these disks. I used to back up on a zip drive or on a floppy disk or on a CD. Now I back up on a little teeny flash drive that's about this big. Everything in our society keeps moving ahead. In our contemporary society, we need contemporary devices. But we're always faced with this question, how new and improved does it have to be? And can I live without it? Our readings for today ask precisely this question. Oh, tell us the answer to this question. They make the claim, all of our readings today make this claim, this is really new, and you can't live without it. But our biblical writers are not talking about something that's merely new and improved today and will be obsolete tomorrow. When they spoke of the new Jerusalem, the new heaven and the new earth, and a new commandment, they are referring to something that God is doing. This new is a verb, a new thing. God is doing this new thing. God is giving us something new, a new life. I find these words such words of promise that where we are right now, the way our life is, the way our world is, the way society is, the way our relationships are going, the way of the world, this isn't the way it is. God is making all things new. God promises a new world, a beautiful, beautiful world where the old is wiped away, where sorrow and pain is gone, God promises this saving, healing, changing world, and it's already at work. It's already happening. God says, see, I am making a new thing. I am doing something new. Probably the most challenging word in the scriptures that we heard this morning is the last line in John's gospel. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I think it would have been a little easier if Jesus would have said, they'll know you're my disciples if you pray harder. They'll know you're my disciples if you live a humble life, a more simple life, or if you take care of the poor and the destitute. But Jesus said, if you have love for one another. One time I invited my friend Dale to come to dinner, and he said, well, I've got Tim is visiting me, and I said, well, let me talk to Tim. And so I was talking to Tim on the phone. Come on over for dinner this afternoon, this evening. And he said, oh, well, you know, can I bring something? And I said, well, no, you don't have to bring anything. Well, just bring a positive attitude. There was this pause. And he said, it'd be easier just to bring a salad. This new commandment to love one another, it's tough. There are easier things in life than loving others. But Jesus meant this. Jesus meant it when he said, love one another. These are some of those famous last words. Do you ever find that this is true? Do you have friends or family that's visiting for the weekend, and it's time for them to go home, and you're in the living room and you say your goodbyes, and then you find yourself in the doorway saying yet another goodbye. And then you find yourself out in the driveway saying goodbye again. And maybe hugs and I love yous are exchanged when you're in the driveway. And your hand is on the car door as they're getting in and backing away. You're waving yet another goodbye. Sometimes those driveway farewells, those words that are spoken at the last of the weekend, are the most true, the most heartfelt words. This is true with Jesus and his disciples. What he was saying that night, this passage is the night before he died, the day of his betrayal. Judas had just left the room. The door is just slamming shut on Judas, and Jesus says, love one another. His farewell words, he says, this is the true sign of discipleship, is how you love each other. And Jesus must have known how difficult this task would be. He must have known this was going to be a hard thing. The other disciples sitting around in that upper room with Judas just out the door, and Jesus says, love one another, doesn't mean just the people sitting around the table. It means that guy that just walked out the door, too. Love one another. Now, sometimes we get so busy with the old stuff, with the ordinary life, with our regular routines, that we forget the new part of this commandment. Jesus tells his disciples to love one another, and in Greek, that word love is agape. Agape, a different kind of love, not a mushy, romantic kind of love, not a pal, friendly kind of love that we have for our buddies, for our good friends, not even that kind of love. Jesus says to his disciples, agape, which means love in action. We might say, prove it. Agape, put it into action. Don't just say it. I want to see it, is what Jesus says. Let me see your love for one another. Have agape love. That kind of love requires a total commitment. That kind of love requires trust, respect. It's the kind of love that God loves us with. It's a new kind of love. Jesus invites us to have agape love, the kind of love that he has for us. This kind of love might require us to open the door that we have closed against others. This kind of love might require us to respond to the needs of others who call for our help. It might require us to forgive the mistakes and sins that others have done against us. It might require us to open our eyes to facts that we might otherwise overlook. Facts like the poor in this world belong to our family. Those who live in despair might be saved by our help. Peace in the world can happen through our efforts. Everyone will know that we are his disciples if we have agape, love for one another. But we get like Peter. We forget this new commandment. We get so preoccupied with the old details that we forget to see, or we're unable to see, the big picture, the new. We get so wrapped up with everything that's wrong in the world that we don't see that God is already doing the new, the right in the world. We focus on what's wrong rather than on what we should be doing right or what we could be doing right. And we don't see the new thing that God is doing. Peter dreamed. He had this dream of the sheet coming down from heaven. And on the sheet, or the tablecloth, are all the things that a good Jewish person shouldn't eat. Animals and reptiles and birds and things that a good Jewish person would never eat. And God says, here's your dinner. And Peter says, whoa, politically correct as he is, you know. He says, no, I would never eat any of this. And the Holy Spirit says, a new thing's got to happen here. Something new is happening. Don't be so worried about the rules. Be worried about what God is worried about. Be concerned about what matters to God. And what matters to God? Peter looks and he says, well, what matters to God is that we don't eat the wrong food. The Holy Spirit says, no, that's not the right answer. Peter says, well, there is a difference between them and us. Holy Spirit says, no, that's not what matters to God. And Peter says, well, there's rules in our church. And the Holy Spirit said, God doesn't really, that's not the big thing that God's worried about. God doesn't care about those rules now. What does it matter? What matters to God? Agape. That's the only thing that matters to God, is love. Peter was surprised. Peter was very surprised that God was doing a new thing. He didn't say that rules don't matter. He didn't say that distinctions don't matter. He just said that the big thing, the big picture, is love. That's what matters. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. As I have loved you, you should love one another. That kind of agape love that God has for us, that Jesus has for us, that's the love that we should have for one another. That's what Jesus is inviting us to. And see, God says, see, I am making all things new. All things. That means you and me. We are being made new. We are being renewed in this life. That means that we don't have to live the way that we are. We're not stuck here with these relationships the way that they are, with our messy world the way that it is. God is making all things new. We just need to open our eyes and see how and where God is working in our lives. My other favorite Greek word for today, besides agape, is gubalon. Gubalon. It's Paul's writing. Paul uses this word often. A nice translation is rubbish. But I would invite you to think a little grittier than that. A little bit grittier. God says, I'm taking all the scubalon out of your messy lives and making it new. I am taking all the broken and wounded parts and making them whole. I am taking all the sorrow and the tears and the death and the worries out of your life and making you whole, new. I am taking the ugliness out of your world, out of your life, and making you as beautiful as a bride adorned for her husband. This is the promise. And God always can be trusted in that promise. Thanks be to God for this good news. I will make all things new.